Now, if you know the part on the chorus, you can sing that, but if you don't know it, well, then I guess you just sing regular. To Jesus every day I find my heart is closer drawn. He's fairer than the glory of the golden purple dawn. He's all my fancy pictures and his fairest dreams and more. Each day he grows still sweeter than he was the day before. The half cannot be fancied beside the golden shore. Oh, there's than he ever was before. His glory broke upon me when I saw him from afar. He's fairer than the lily, brighter than the morning star. He fills and satisfies my longing spirit o'er and o'er. Each day he grows so sweeter than he was the day before. The half cannot be fancied beside the golden shore. Oh, there he'll be still sweeter than he ever was before. My heart is sometimes heavy, but he comes with sweet relief. He folds me to his bosom when I drop with blood and grief. I love the Christ who all my burdens in his body bore. Each day he grows the sweeter than he was the day before. The half cannot be fancied beside the golden shore. Oh, there he'll be so sweeter than he ever was before.
Now, this is not true of my family because I get along with my mother-in-law. But when I got to the house today after being out with the animals, I told my wife, I said, "Babe, remember that joke? How there's good news and bad news. The good news and the bad news were both related." And I said, "When your mother-in-law goes off the cliff in your brand new car," I said, "that's the, you know, we have mixed emotions. It was good news and bad news." Today, we've been trying to get, a couple years ago when my granddaughters lived with us, the neighbor had a horse that someone had put on his property like 15 years ago. So I had the great idea that I would get that little horse over on my property and we'd tame it down and my granddaughters could ride it. Problem is, no one's ever been able to catch it since it's been on my property, so nobody's been able to ride it. And it loves to eat my deer corn during deer season. So every year during deer season, I think to myself, I've never shot a horse, but you know, it's, you know, I could. And then I think, no, that's bad. You can't shoot the horse. So I've been trying to put it back on the neighbor's property. So, but he's got pretty flighty because every time he's on my deer trail when he's eating corn, I throw rocks at him to get him off the deer trail. So now he doesn't really, when he sees me coming, he takes off running. So today I was sneaky. I fed some, opened up the gates of the neighbor's property, put some corn there, snuck around, came around behind him, chased the guy. I mean, he was heading that way. So me and Sierra chased him and I'm standing there thinking, man, that's good. He runs off. About that time I feel Dante go by me, which is my dog that stays with the horses. I mean, 24/7. Dante went by me, and before I could turn around, my wife's horse ran by me, and I thought, "Oh crap! Now I have my horse on the neighbor's property too." And you know what they say about the puppy? I mean, about Dante, doggone. So, but that was my. I went to my wife and said, "You want the good news or bad news?" She said, "Give me the bad news first," which you're not supposed to start with the bad news. And I said, "The bad news is, Mundo is on the neighbor's property." She said, "That's not bad news." I said, "Yes, it is, baby. It's bad news." She said, I don't care." And I said, the good news was the neighbor, now I put his horse back, but I said, now I have to go tomorrow and walk all through the property and try to catch her horse and bring it back home. So if anyone wants a horse, I've got a free horse for you. I'll be glad to bring it, drop it off in your backyard, or, I mean, you can lead it to your place or put it in your apartment if you want a horse in your apartment. I mean, that'd be something no one else has, so it's a little large, but, I mean, again, good news is you can ride it to the store and things like that. You can quit walking, but... So, I don't know. I told my wife, I said, now I got to call the neighbor and say, man, I have this problem. I was giving you your horse back, and you have my horse, too. So, but that's not a good thing today. So, it was one of those mixed emotion things. So, good to see you back. Good to see Todd. Hey, Todd.
Yeah.
Mom told me that Todd had been asking a bunch of questions. He asked the right one this morning. You know what it was? Lord, will you please forgive me and come into my heart? That was the best question Todd could ask. He got saved this morning. We're so proud of Todd. And then we had some of our bus kids get saved this morning as well. That was a blessing. So again, for those of you that missed, if you was out back in other services, we had four saved. And during this corona thing, that's been used to as a common every week thing, because we had people saved from the buses or the visitors. But with corona, a lot of that, we had a lot less contact, and we quit running the buses for 5 or 6 months. So that was a big blessing. Had four saved this morning. So don't forget to rejoice. Christ was this afternoon. He was excited because four got saved. So we ought to make sure we get excited about the same thing that he gets excited about. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for Todd coming back. And Mom and the Lord, thank you for the ones that got saved this morning. Pray, Lord, you just meet with us tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you speak through Brother Castile to us, touch our hearts, and give us what we need. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
All right. Wonderful story of love. Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, who wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love, wonderful story of love, wonderful story of love. Though you are far away, wonderful story of love, still he doth call today. Calling from Calvary's mountain, done from the... He from the dawn of creation, wonderful story of love, wonderful story of love, wonderful story of love. Jesus provides a rest, wonderful story of love. For all the pure and blessed, rest in those mansions above us, with those who've gone on before us, singing the rapturous chorus. Wonderful story of love, wonderful story of love.
And no, for those of you wondering, I don't hate the horse. When the horse was of use, I try to have one rule on my farm. If it doesn't have some value, I don't need to feed and water it. And that's it. I mean, I only hang out with him till he's of value. But when you get old, you just have to put him out the pasture. And so, but when my wife was able to ride her to the granddaughters, where it was different. But and I could sell that one, because I have to be able to sell them nowadays, you have to have some kind of inspection. When we bought that horse, it's had that inspection. And the other horse wasn't even, I mean, since the neighbors or someone had put it on that other property years ago, we don't know anything about it, it has no inspection, so I can get rid of mine. And every year during this time of year when I have to feed, I feed protein, I feed hay, and some of you know what hay is, but we also have to feed these big protein tubs. And my cows can go through two protein tubs in about a week, and each protein tub costs $60 a piece, so I can, it runs into big money. And the horse loves the protein tub, but when I have a horse on the property, I can only feed the 16%. Because if you feed anything higher than that, apparently horses get a kidney and get a urinary tract infection. So I had to worry about the horse. And when the horse is not on my property, I can feed the 24% protein, which is, the same price for the tub, but a lot more protein. So I've been thinking about getting rid of the horse. Just didn't mean to get rid of it that way. So I don't hate horses, but, again, it had no value on my property, so that's why we were trying to get rid of it. But, again... Several things to pray for today. We want, now again, I know some of you older folks, and you've been faithful to all these things, but we want to honor you again, so I don't usually try to make people stand up more than you already have, but we mentioned the veterans this morning. If you was in the military in the past, or you're in the military right now, would you please stand? We do appreciate our veterans. So hate to make you stand up, but we want to honor you again, so let's give them a hand again. Stay standing. We're going to start over here, and you just tell us what branch of the service you was in and how many years you was in. Hang on, we've got Dad here. Brother Fredo? 4 years? Mom? Wow, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Air Force 11.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Again, I knew we had folks from all different branches of the service, but I appreciate you and your service to us in the past. When we still have some, I believe, that's serving now. But thank you, veterans. And Mrs. Bell said that she did this to recognize you. It's during the week. And by the way, I mentioned this morning, anytime you see a veteran this week, we always appreciate them. But this week, go out of your way to appreciate the veterans. And veterans, Liberty Baptist Church does appreciate you. Thank you for your service. It's a big deal to us to have men and women like you that go to our church that have fought for our country and been around for our country in the past. So thank you. Thank you for those that was involved in the medical fundraiser for Mrs. Naomi Aguilar. So thank you for that. She has upcoming, they're going to try shots first, I believe is what he told me. And then if that doesn't work, they're going to have to do the surgery. But she's hoping not to have to do the surgery. But she has extensive back damage. I don't remember what all the terminology is, but it's, I mean, she messed up several of her vertebrae. So keep her in prayer. The security schedule is up. If you guys can help us with that, we'd appreciate it. Also, there's a senior board out there. That is a fundraiser. They can have a different fundraiser every month. That is this month's fundraiser. So if you have questions, you can ask Steve and he'll explain it to you. Don't forget that Wednesday night, 7:30, we have prayer and Bible study here at the church. Thursday night, soul winning at 6:45. Friday youth activity. Now, normally it's 6 to 7:30 here at the church, but this week it will start at 6, but we'll be leaving Liberty Baptist Church, going to Marion Baptist Church. And again, from what my GPS says it's 40-something minutes away, so we'll get over there a little before 7. The service starts at 7, goes till 9 o'clock, and then we'll get back here hopefully around 10. So that will be at Marion Baptist Church in Marion, Texas. And then Saturday bus visitation at 9:30, so went in at 10:45. Back in your places, Sunday school 9:45, church at 10:50. These will be out in the hallway, and this is for not this coming Sunday, but the Sunday after. They're going to have a bus. Again, this is a dinner for the bus kids. So needless to say, they're not going to be able to provide their own food. So we're asking you if you can help us out with that. So they have some sign-up sheets and some things that you can bring. So if you can help out with that, that would be a big blessing. Brother, where are you at, Brother? Brother Bajot. I'll give you these back because otherwise I'll forget them. So again, if you want to see those after church and sign up for that, that will be a help and a blessing. Again, this morning they had about 50 on the buses between the two, and that was a blessing. Had 7 or 8 visitors. Three of those visitors got saved, and then Todd. But again, we had several visitors. The young ladies that sat right back here with Anna was visiting with us, and then Eli was over here sitting in this section. And we had several kids out back, I believe from the same family, right? Some of them were from the same family, and the two that got saved. Now, one of the youngsters had been here before, but the other two are visitors, right? The youngest boy and the little boy on the end had been here before. I recognize him, but the other two are visitors. So, again, it's always a blessing to have visitors on the bus because almost always they hear the gospel and get saved. And it's always that's why we run the buses, by the way. If we can reach them when they're 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years old, much easier than trying to reach them when they're 30 or 40 or 50 years old. So, again, pray for the buses, and if you can help bring the stuff. The stuff that's on that table out there, you're welcome to take that. I believe that was from the Sharps, right? Brought that the other night, so there's still some stuff out there. If you'd like to take that, they bring stuff. They get stuff for us and bring it and put it on the table for you to take it home. Or if you know someone else that can use it, again, you're welcome to take it home. But there's stuff out there, so help yourself to that. I've been trying to pass out some pictures. I needed some pictures for something else. Someone had asked me to round up some pictures from something that happened years ago. So I pulled out all the, back when I used to take the pictures, and I don't take pictures anymore. One, because no one uses cameras anymore. And two, because there's other folks around that usually took the pictures. And so I quit years ago. But back when we used to have, I used to take pictures at youth conference and youth activities and things like that. We had pictures all the time. So I went through those. All of us that are adults now were much skinnier back then.
Yeah.
Had more hair, had darker hair.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of the kids. I mean, kids from all the way back to, I guess, Andrew's. How old is Andrew now? So back when the kids, I mean, Andrew was, I believe he was either a junior or senior the year that I got pictures of him. And so him and Greg Sanders and Dina Cadwell and whoever else was at that age, I think Patty Milliken. And then from then, for about the next 10 years, I had a lot of pictures of Brother Molina, and it was a blessing to see his pictures. He was always into stuff here and elsewhere. Again, a lot of pictures. So young people, if your parents have pictures, you can ask them to show you their pictures. When I say young people, you 30 and 40 year olds that used to be teenagers, they have pictures of you. So you can look at those and see those. And again, hopefully there'll be a blessing to you. There's a blessing to me just to look back and see them. I remember, how many of you remember when we used to do the mud fights? One of the funniest mud fights of all was Mrs. Blocker. Some of you remember Mrs. Blocker. She got up there one time and she kept, I mean, Kay Craker took her on and Stephanie Rivera took her on, a bunch of others. And she was sitting there and they just kept knocking the crap up each other because we dig a big pit, fill it back full of water, throw the dirt back in, get in, squish it around, fill it back full of water, throw some more dirt back in, squish it around. So it was about 3 or 4 foot of just mud. And then we had a pole that went across it. And they scooted in on that pole. We gave both of them pillows. At first, they were pillows that were, you know, fairly clean. But after a few times of falling in the mud, they got really dirty. But they set out to beat on each other till knocked one of them into the mud. The bad thing was some of them tried to hold on with their legs, so they would hold on, and then their head would end up in the mud, and I'd have to go pull their legs apart because otherwise they're hanging down in the water in the mud with their face, and then they're too bullheaded to let go. And I'm thinking, you don't really want to drown in 6 inches of mud and water. So. Then they crawl out, we'd hose them down, then they go get in line and do it again. So we may do that again sometime. I can tell you it's a lot of work. Back then the pit didn't seem so hard, but when you get old like Brother Block and Brother Peugeot, it just gets harder to dig a big pit like that. So probably today I'm a little smarter. I'd probably see if I can rent one of those things and, you know, scoop it out and fill it. But a little smarter today. But we had pictures of that. And then we used to do a lot of scavenger hunts and things like that and all the pictures from that. And then youth conference. And it was always a blessing to go to youth conference with Brother Ross and the folks up at OBC. So, again, if you haven't, there's still some of you that I didn't get pictures to you before church. But I'll try to get those out to you after church of years gone by.
During that time, I was the one, you know, he said when they got done, they got washed off. That's what I did. I said, I ain't getting in the mud. All right. So anyway. All right. Let's all stand. Wonderful grace of Jesus.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe Him? Where shall His praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. Oh, the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. Oh, the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. The mountain sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name.
Now, last time we get to the end, praise His name, if you can sing it, do the high note. I heard some of you doing it anyway, but we'll do the high note on the last one.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by its transforming power, making Him God's dear child. purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity, and the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, popping like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater Father, oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise His name.
All right, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you and praise you for the opportunity that we have now and the freedom to give back, Lord, in tithes and offerings, that we might continue to see souls saved like this morning. So we pray you'd bless and multiply that, Lord. Bless the giver. And bless your holy word as it goes out this evening, Father, because we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
We're singing Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pasture feed us, for our youth thy folds prepare. Blessing Jesus, thou hast bought us thine we are. Blessing Jesus, thou hast bought us thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, we'll hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and holy Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still.
I intended on singing another song tonight, but after this morning hearing Brother Taylor talk about some of those good old songs of the past, I remembered I had this one back in my file, so I dug it out. And it's one my mom and I used to sing when I was very small. It's Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages,
left for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wound decide which flows the of sin, the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. The labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? Not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Bow I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, ere I die, while I draw this fleeting breath. When my eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, Rock of ages, left for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
Grab your King James Bible, follow along. Brother Castillo is going to come preach to us.
All right. Well, what a blessing to be here this evening and to have an opportunity to preach. And we're going to look here at the book of Joshua. Joshua in chapter 17. Read a few verses here. Joshua chapter 17. And Joshua chapter 17. And we'll read a few verses here, starting here in Joshua chapter 17 and verse 12. Joshua chapter 17 and verse 12. And the Bible says, "Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxing strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out." And I'm going to continue here in just a moment. But the Bible tells us a little bit about the tribe of Manasseh, which was not one of the original 12 tribes, but with Manasseh and Ephraim coming from Joseph. But they were numerous enough and had gained enough prominence among the children of Israel that they were now spoken of many times in tandem, but as well as later on that they would be spoken of individually as not just the children of Joseph, but as their own tribes. But the Bible tells us concerning them that they had failed to drive out the inhabitants of the cities that was a part of their lot, but had instead taken a route to instead of putting forth the work to drive them out, but used them as tributes within their land at times as they had the opportunity. And the Bible tells us, though, in verse 14 about an event that happened between the children of Joseph and Ephraim and Manasseh with Joshua. And it says in Joshua chapter 17 and verse 14, it says, "And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto. And here in the book of Joshua in chapter 17 and verse 14, they were not speaking of primarily just as far as their status as being a great people, but really more than anything, numerous, but I'm sure there was as well, there was a little bit of speaking of that they were a prominent people as well by the children of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, speaking unto Joshua that they needed a little bit more land, they needed some more area. The Bible tells us, though, in verse 15, it says, "And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, if what you say is true, that you are a great people, he says, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee." Boy, Joshua gives them a pretty interesting answer. He says, "You're a great people. Well, go ahead and get to work. Get to work and take the land that's right there on the mountain that no one else has taken and the area that you do have available to you. It's going to take a little bit of work, but you have an opportunity. Go ahead and go there." And the Bible tells us in verse 16, "And the children of Joseph said, The hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Beth Shean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel." So here it is that he speaks, that they speak of a hill, the representatives, whereas he was speaking of it as a mount. Notice what it says in verse 17 and 18. It says, "And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only," but watch this, he says, "but the mountain shall be thine. For it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong." And I'd like to speak about that for just a few minutes here this evening, that Joshua's answer to the children of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, was that the mountain shall be thine. You know, and that's very instructive for each and every one of us that God has a mountain for each and every one of us. You know, one of my favorite songs is that song, not referring to this, but referring to Caleb and his ability, and as he had wanted the mountain, "I want that mountain." Well, I like that song. You know, I really enjoy that song and enjoyed it as long as I've known it. Many times that people think that simply because you've heard something over and over again or been a part of it, that you would get tired of it. You know, there's many things that I just don't get tired of. Amen. I mean, you really shouldn't. And I found in the Christian life a long time ago that I should not have that spirit, but really forsake that spirit. Just because you've heard it many, many times doesn't mean it's something bad. Amen. I mean, I've had more grilled cheese than you could shake a stick at, but I still like a plain grilled cheese. You know, and that's not maybe everybody. And I've had, you know, all sorts of things that I've been a part of. The reality is, you know, for the most part, church in a lot of ways is really pretty much about the same a lot of times. Now, we have victories and we have things and high points, but I was glad that I learned a long time ago that the Christian life is made of mountaintops and it's made of valleys. But to really, much of the time, it's kind of the plain, to be honest with you. Not only a plain geographically, P-L-A-I-N, but many times it's also a plain, not just geographically, but also the experience is kind of like a plain experience. It's not something that's necessarily real exciting and all sorts of things going on, a fancy experience, but it is something that is to be enjoyed. It's something that God has given us, and we can look back on those things as well. When we look back on those, what we think are those plain experiences, those are some of the best times that we had. Sometimes just having Sunday dinner with family wasn't anything exciting. It wasn't anything that was gonna shake history and mountain moving, but it was just kind of fun. It was kind of enjoyable. Amen. Those plain times. But the reality is when we look here in the book of Joshua in chapter 17 that he was speaking of the geography of the land, that the mountain would be his. But I believe it's very instructive for us as well that God has something for us as well concerning a mountain. You see, a mountain can be a picture of safety. And we see that in the Bible. There are times that a mountain is used as an example of safety. When you look throughout the Bible, that we can go to flee unto it, to hide, or we would seek because of difficult circumstances that we would go unto a mountain to hide. Many times it's not only a matter of safety, but it's a matter of security. That it can be a place of security because it's there. It's used as a symbol of security that though the mountains be shaken and so forth, the Bible uses that. It's something generally that we associate with safety. Sometimes a mountain is spoke of as difficulty though as well. And we see part of that here in the book of Joshua in chapter 17 and verse 18, that this that you have before you, that Joshua is offering to you, that Joshua is challenging you with, that is going to be a little bit of difficulty. But as well, I find many times as well, when you look at the Bible, that a mountain can be also a place of success, a great picture of success, that when you reach that mountain, that you're in a place of success. And I'd just like to talk about for a few minutes here this evening, this matter that Joshua gave to the children of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, that the mountain shall be thine. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would help us, that you would use us, that you would work in our lives, Lord, to bless us. That, Lord, that we would find that the mountain that we may have before us is exactly what you're offering to us, that you might be honored and glorified through it. And, Lord, we will thank you for it. We will praise you for it. Please help us now. In your precious name we ask it. Amen. The mountain. You know, what is it, the mountain, that the Lord has for you? I like reading in the Bible about the stories that we have, as well as that we see here in the book of Joshua and in chapter 17. You look here in Joshua in chapter 17 and you look at verse 15. The Bible says, "And Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of," watch this, "the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee." Joshua was not discounting the fact that what they had before them was not a difficult task, that there were a well-established people that were there that needed to be beaten, as well as he said, they're not just normal folks. He said, I'm gonna agree with you here, you children of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. They are giants. You know, there are times the children of Israel would speak of things and they said, the people are giants. We know about them when they send in the 12 spies. The people are giants and we're as grasshoppers in their sight. And the great truth to be learned from that is you don't know what you look like in their sight, because later on we found out that much of the people of the land were pretty troubled at what God was doing through the children of Israel. So it's not right to say that. But Joshua was agreeing with them here and telling them, I am not telling you that what you have ahead of you is not difficult. They are giants. There's no doubt about it. And these people really had chariots of iron. They really did. And it was a difficult thing that he was asking them to do. What he was challenging them to do, because they were such a great people in number, that they needed those, they needed that area. But if they were to have that area, it was necessary for them to go ahead and defeat both the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the people of the land, as well as those giants that were there. You know, there's a song that I really enjoy. I was just listening to it today, this afternoon, because of the message here this evening. But the song, "The Harder the Battle, the Sweeter the Victory." Well, and enjoy that song. It's a little bit older song. It's not as old as Rock of Ages that we had tonight. But I'm not against anything that's necessarily new, as long as it's a good one. There's some new songs that have been produced, created, so forth. That is some pretty good songs. I'll be honest with you. My daughter sang a song this morning at church that it's not an old song at all. It's a pretty new song, but it's a real good song that, you know, "If I'm Dreaming, Don't Wake Me." And it sounds really good with the ukulele. And I'm embarrassing her probably a little bit just mentioning her here in church. But she sang that song. And I always tell her every time I can, you know, "Why don't you sing that song?" And she said, "I want to sing something else." I'm talking at the house when they're practicing or whatever. But I like that song, you know, "If I'm Dreaming, Don't Wake Me," talking about that sometimes that the Christian is spoken of that it's a fairy tale, that it's a dream. And the song says, "Well, if I'm dreaming, don't wake me." I'm doing fine. And I like that song. It's a newer song. It's not an old song at all. But it's something that is a good song. And all these songs that we sing many times, even that we've been talking about, the hymns of many, Fanny Crosby or other people that may have been spoken of, they were new at one time. Amen. Now, there were many songs that were produced around the same times, and the amnesia of history is seeing fit in order that they have gone by the wayside. Some of them, it's been sad that they've gone by the wayside because they've been some really good songs, and every once in a while, they get a little bit of a resurgence, even some older ones, like Be Thou My Vision. I really like Be Thou My Vision. Now, that is a very old song, Be Thou My Vision. But it's a good song. Gets a resurgence every once in a while. But I'm glad for these things. But I say all that to say this, is that, you know, they're, the harder the battle, the sweeter the victory, that we're going to go through things sometimes that the Lord allows us to go through, that He sees fit in our lives. He has already given us the promise in His Word that He will not allow us to be tempted above that we are able. And therefore, when we go through some things that we may see in our own lives as being insurmountable, we can take hope to think that God is thinks that, one, is you're worthy of the task that is ahead, and that He's planning to do something amazing through you. What a blessing He does that. And what we're seeing right here, that Joshua was mixed, and that not only did He give them a challenge and scolded them a little bit, but He also comforted them with the fact that He agreed that what they had ahead of them was a very difficult situation, but that they were able to the task if they would submit themselves unto God. Many times we find in our own lives as well that there are difficulties that we will go through, and the difficulties are not always the same that they had of a battle. Sometimes the battle that the Lord has for us is not a real military battle as what they had, but it is a battle nonetheless. And I'm thankful that I serve a God who sees the battles that I go through in this life. Others may not see them as a battle, but the Lord sees it in my life, and He approves and says that, yes, it is a battle that you're going through, and I'm not telling you it's not. I'm not going to discount it, but you can get through this. You know, there are problems that we have sometimes of time. You know, that time can be a difficulty. Sometimes time can be that there is either too little time for something that we see to get something done, or that there is too much time, and that there's no way that we're going to last long enough in order to get to the end of this thing. And it seems like that sometimes, doesn't it? You know, that we trust the Lord and know that He is going to see us through it. But Lord, where are You? Sometimes we even get like, well, you know, where's God? We've been going through this thing for quite some time. But we must understand that God is doing a work. And I always have to remember that there are times that God is putting me through something. I think, where is the end of this thing? Well, I trust You, Lord. I'm not doubting You in any way. But why are we not seeing You do that mighty work that You can do? And many times because God is doing other things behind the scenes, that He is working in a way that is far beyond our comprehension. We read the Bible and we just pass over things, but understand sometimes these were long periods of times that these people were dealing with. I mean, Moses in his own life, that he went through changes of administrations, that there were administrations that were favorable to him and his people at times, as well as there were administrations that would rise up that were not as favorable to him and his people. But he went through all of these things and got to the point in his life where he felt that his life was in danger, that he needed to flee, that he was setting up his home, setting up his life in a place that was away from Egypt and away from his people. And it seemed like in his life, I'm sure, that, you know, I guess this is what the Lord is going to do, what the Lord has for me, and I'm going to be content in it. But God had much greater things that were He was working on in His life, but there was time that needed to pass, those many years that passed during the youth and during the middle age of Moses, till God would bring him back, that God would hear the cry of His people and take His people out of Egypt to fulfill His promise. There was a lot of years there. And there's times in our life, there's times, and I think concerning even a soul winning ministry, a church ministry, or other things, you know, we want to see things done like that. Amen. We just want to see it. And you know, God will even allow us to see some victories within the meantime, but we need to stay faithful to Him. And as we do, God will work in a mighty way. You know, I received some encouragement even this past week And the flea market, it closed a couple times and opened throughout this coronaphobia thing. And when they were opened back up, got back in there trying to do it. I'm thankful for folks that are faithful, spending a lot more time than even I do there. And I don't spend, you know, I spend some Saturdays and some Sundays there when it is open. Got people that are willing to go through there Friday. And you don't always see quick results from it. Many times you go and you just try to pass out gospel tracts, John and Romans. And sometimes it gets discouraging. I'll go there, usually it happens when I go in to pay the rent is really what happens. I'll go in to the manager's office when it's time to pay a rent and the manager will give me a stack of John and Romans where people that have been given John and Romans and they leave them somewhere inside of the flea market. And I find them every once in a while myself. But even with all that, you know, I thank the Lord that we're able to see God use and get in the hands of people about 200. And I don't know if what happens after they get out of the flea market, but I know that God is working in lives. That using the gospel tracts that are given, the personal witness, and so forth in order to see things done. But, you know, I'll be honest with you. The first couple of times I went in there, after we started giving out the John and Romans, and I'd walk there into the manager's office, and I'd see there on the file cabinet a stack of John and Romans, and I thought, you know, that's kind of discouraging. You know, that means they found them somewhere, and the manager said, you know, I got something for you here. And they were not upset. I'll be honest with you. Manager didn't get upset. Just said, I think, you might want these. And that's what we do. We give them back out, you know, as long as they're not destroyed or damaged or soiled in some way. But what I'm saying is it can get discouraged, but it makes it worth it when you get to see someone. Like I saw a man that he's a believer. He knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And he came by and says, y'all are still at it. I said, yes, sir, as we did aforetime. Amen. You know, regardless of who's in office or what's going on, the chaos all around, we pray and we hope and do our part. But you know what? It don't matter who's in office. God's still in control. Amen. And so we're gonna be here, coronaphobia or no coronaphobia. If I got to do what I have to do with a mask on, though I hate it and I get tired of it, I do it with a mask on just to continue the work to try and reach people with the gospel. But sometimes it is time that discourages us because the time that God has asked us to, that God is challenging us to for maybe months, days, years, weeks, decades to serve Him, and we do not see the result of it at that moment, but God's in control. God's working. And sometimes that's the difficulty is time. Or too short. Sometimes we think there's too little time to get done what we think we need to get done. Amen? You ever been there? You know, God has raised up an opportunity, but you only have this much amount of time, a real little bit. How in the world are we going to get it done in that time? Well, sometimes you just have to ship it. Amen? You got to do what you can and prepare as much as you can, but then, Lord, we don't have any more time. This is it. We just got to do it. And the Lord blesses. Amen. You know how the Lord does these things. Sometimes it's age. You know, the difficulties that people may go through. There was a time in my life when, you know, age seemed like it was a little bit of a hindrance. Got saved when I was 9. Started trying to preach when I was 12 years old. And I understand how it is. Sometimes when you're 12 years old preaching the Word of God, people don't take you as seriously as sometimes you take yourself. Amen. They really don't, you know, but it was okay. You know, sometimes and even though I had many people that were honestly a good encouragement to me, I understood that people didn't take me as serious. And the reality is now looking back, I understand they shouldn't. Amen. You know, I don't want to be dangerous. You know, don't want to put someone that's dangerous out there. But sometimes people see age as a hindrance or as a difficulty. But you got to be willing to go get past those things and say, even though that is a difficult, that I need to have an attitude of what Paul described to Timothy. Let no man despise thy youth. He said, even though it is a natural reaction that you as a young person may be trying to do something worthwhile for the honor and glory of the Lord, that you must understand that you must not take that as a discouragement and allow yourself to be despised, but continue on. Continue on for God. And sometimes it's not a matter of age as far as youth, but sometimes it's a matter of old age. Amen. You know, you get a little bit older and you just can't do the things that you could at some times. Amen. You know, I wish I could run right now, but I'm not there yet. I don't know if I'll ever be able to really run once again. I'm looking forward to it. I'm trying to work towards that. But I've got two new hips that I'm just trying to get them to work like they ought to. Amen. You know, I'm just trying to get to, and it's a battle sometimes, or not a real battle, but I have to do it on purpose. Where I heal first, then ball. Heel first of the foot, then ball, instead of what I had done for years, my waddle, especially when I would get tired. And it's a little bit of work sometimes. And I'm only 48. I know people that's about how it's going to be for the rest of their life. The legs are just going to be like it is. And sometimes that spirit says inside you that I'd like to do so much more. But the reality is God has things for you to do as well, that even though it may be a battle, do not allow the whatever age you may be in to be a hindrance. Submit yourself to God and say, God, I will do what I can do, but for your honor and glory as you work in and through my life, God, you will work in a mighty way. Sometimes age, the difficulty. Sometimes the difficulty is resources that we do not have enough, maybe we think, in order to get the job done. Or even maybe it's a support from those around us and from those that we expect to have to support us in the endeavor that we might be involved in. But we need to understand that God can work through us and help us to have that mountain of success that God would have us to. Let's look here to the children of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh. Just a quick look at them here in Joshua chapter 17 and starting here in verse 14. That here in verse 14 that we see, first of all, their complaint. You know, many times that's about what we are when we see something that is needful and necessary, that instead of seeing a way in, that we try and see a way out. They started to complain. They wanted something just to be laid at their feet. You know, sometimes you're not just going to be laid at your feet, but you've got to work a little bit in order to get it done. They had a complaint. Let me say, secondly, in verse 15, they had a challenge. The Bible tells us, and Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country. You know, I'm glad there's been people in my life, throughout my life, that they challenged me. Amen. I was glad that I was used to, as a young person, hearing preaching throughout my life, that I've had an opportunity to hear good preaching that challenged me. That I was challenged regularly with the reality of Christian service, of really giving myself to serve the Lord and preaching and serving and being a witness for Him and trying to accomplish something for God's honor and glory in the life that God had given me. I was glad, and I'll be forever thankful for someone like Dr. Joe Boyd. That it was during a Joe Boyd revival as a 12-year-old boy that I realized, after hearing that preaching over and over again from Brother Block, from Brother Nichols, of challenging me as a young person. We're talking about that this evening. But Brother Block said he had me preach because sometimes people might get tired of him. Well, good night. There were times in my life for 5 years at least, I heard Brother Block every day. In my life, I would hear him in devotions on Monday. I would hear him in devotions on Tuesday. I would hear him in devotions on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then I would hear him again. Watch this. I would hear him again on Saturday morning, sometimes twice, at least once during the teen challenge. And I heard him again on Sunday. There were times I heard him at least twice. And I would sometimes even hear him every once in a while, four times on one day. So, Sunday morning for Sunday school, Sunday morning for preaching, Sunday night for the teen challenge at 6 o'clock, and then again for the preaching service. He said, well, you probably get tired of me too. Now, I've gotten rid of all that a long time ago. I've been hearing Brother Nichols for over 30 years. I've been hearing Brother Block and I'll tell you, and I still enjoy it. And everything's not always exciting, jumping up and down, hallelujah, kicking my feet. But I'll tell you, I'm glad that I've had a steady diet of good preaching, of hearing the challenge from the Word of God. Because that's what I need. And my friend, they were the children of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh were getting a challenge that they needed, as well as each and every one of our lives. Challenge is necessary. You know, I'm thankful I didn't just sit somewhere where someone would just give me something to fill my head with knowledge, but that I would hear a challenge that Christian service is not only a reality, it is something that is a responsibility for me. That God not only expects someone somewhere out there in the ether to be a witness for Him, God expects me. Yeah. That God doesn't expect somewhere out there to read the Bible regularly, He expects me. Yeah. That God just doesn't expect somewhere out there to be someone that has a prayer life, but He expects me. Yeah. Amen! Yeah. That God just doesn't expect somewhere out there to be a faithful church attender, but He expects me. Yeah. That God just doesn't expect someone out there to be a faithful giver to my local church, but He expects me. That God just doesn't expect someone out there to be a faithful servant of Him, to do what I can in order to get His word out, to minister unto people, to be a blessing and to help Him and to serve His church. But God expected me. And I'll tell you, in our lives, it is so necessary and is needful that we are challenged as Manasseh and Ephraim were challenged as well here in Joshua chapter 17 and in verse 15. But we see in verse 16 here that there were excuses. Here in verse 16, the Bible says, "And the children of Joseph said, 'The hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel.'" That here it is, the Bible tells us that there were excuses, that although that the hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley. Here it is. And many times that's many times our response, isn't it? That when God challenges us, when the Spirit of God starts to deal with us about things, that we give excuses. You know, I can't, or people aren't going to support me in it, and I'm not like Moses. You know, I can't speak right, or whatever it might be. Whatever excuses we give, they gave excuses as well. But it did not end with excuses, because we see this, that Joshua gave them an encouragement. And the Bible says, "And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, 'Thou art a great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only.'" But what an encouragement, isn't it? Now here it is. He had been a little bit rough with them. "Hey, if you're a great people, go ahead and take that mountain." But then he went on to say, look, after things kind of settled down, that's about how it happens too. Sometimes I'm glad folks around me, that they said, "Look, you know what? Stop moping. Pick your head up." But then later on, they said, "Look, you can do it. Now, it's not going to be easy. Okay? It's going to be difficult, but you can do it. With God's help, for His honor and glory, it can be done." And they got an encouragement even from Joshua here, that Joshua told him that, "Thou art a great people and hast great..." Do not discount yourself, what God wants to do through you and for His honor and glory, because the mountain shall be thine. And a few quick observations from this. Let me say concerning a mountain shall be thine that he talks about. First of all, he says, "It shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down." We're going to have difficulty. Amen. It was a wood. There was some difficulty. Don't ever forget that if you're ever going to accomplish something for the honor and glory of the Lord, there's going to be some difficulty. Yeah. Amen. It really will. I was glad that I went to Oklahoma Baptist College here in Oklahoma City. And if I heard it once, I heard it a dozen, probably 100 times as long as I was there at college. You know, I squeezed 4 years into six is what I did. You know, and that's bad math, Roy. Well, you know, the Democrats do it too. They squeeze this many votes into this many. But anyways, I squeezed 4 years into six is what I did. And it was difficult. Honestly, there was a lot of difficulty. But Dr. Vineyard, he said this: if you're going to be involved in ministry, it's going to take you time and money. He said, don't ever forget that as a young person, as a young man there at college, and you say it in church and everywhere, there's going to be some difficulty involved, but it's worth it. In the end, it is worth it if it's done for God's honor and glory and through his power. That there was going to be some difficulty, it was going to be some work, but the result was going to be worth it. We see this right here in Joshua chapter 17 and verse 18. "And thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine." That he was talking about, that you're going to not only get the mount, but you're going to get the surrounding areas and everything. When talking about outgoings, it's talking about a geographic area, but it's also talking about the fruit of the land as well. He says you're going to enjoy not only the land itself, but what that land can produce and all the adjoining areas. He said it's going to be thine. It is yours for the taking if you would submit yourself to God. And then I see this, we see winning, because he tells them this. He says, "And thou, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots and though they be strong." You see, even though the enemy was well equipped, they had iron chariots, and though they were very capable and that they were strong, he says, you can't take that. And I'm not going to discount it, that the forces that we deal with here in this life, that they are well equipped. There's no doubt about it. Hey, you know, I look out around me. Sometimes you think it seems like we have so little to do what God has for us, as opposed to the forces that are against us. But God doesn't need forces. Amen. God doesn't need resources. He does things with the word of His power. Amen. Who put the enemy to flight with the word of His power? Shake them up where they're fighting each other and leave everything there and take off. He had done it before. And they are very capable. They were strong people that they were asked to go against. But God can help us overcome these things. You know, I've seen God work in some mighty ways many times against some very capable forces that were fighting against us. Some that were very intimidating and fighting against the work of God. But God helps God's people to overcome these things. If we submit ourselves to Him for His honor and for His glory, He will use us. He'll use us to get in these places, even though there's a coronaphobia. He helps us to do things. You know, there was a lot of things that I saw, you know, happen. I thought when we were going out door to door, the rest of it, I don't know how we're going to be received. But the truth of the matter is, it works. The people still receiving, opening up the flea market. I don't even know if folks are going to receive it, take something from our hand into theirs. You know, I think maybe they're going to be coronaphobic about it. But they do it. They take it. And if they're at the flea market, they're not really carried about germs probably anyways. You know, I'll be honest. You know, it's just the way it is. You got people milling around. But God will work. We've just got to give ourselves to Him. And He will do it. That there is a leader that will tell us. And here they had Joshua. But we have the Lord Jesus Christ in order to tell us to go on for His honor and His glory. And He will bless us. Amen. But I'll tell you, it all starts with, first of all, is getting saved. That's the first thing. You got to be born again. Not been born again, get that settled. Some folks already got that settled today. But if you're here today, you're not saved, you ought to get that settled today. But if you are saved, you've been allowing yourself to be discouraged, don't get discouraged. Get up, let God do what He would have in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank You for tonight. I thank You for Your blessings that You put upon us, Lord, that You shower us, Lord. Lord, You just don't give it to us in small measure. But Lord, out of the abundance of the blessings, Lord, that You give us for Your honor and Your glory. Help us, we need You, Lord, to be strong and, Lord, of a good courage. And, Lord, we'll thank You for it. In Your precious name we ask it. Amen. We're going to have a song of invitation. What song is that?
I am resolved.
And I'll tell you, why don't you stand with us as we sing this song? If God has dealt with you, you do what you ought to do.